There's also the footy. Round 20 is coming into sight. This is the captain's run slot. So we thought today we might put the captain's run and Waitley together in a bit of a mash-up at the start. Kane Corns, good morning to you.
Have been enjoying doing that and our flip-offs throughout the day over on SEN Flip, and your Olympic coverage has been as good as it gets. I'm all in with the Olympics, but have been fortunate enough to talk footy for 5 hours. If Olympics for that brief moment hasn't been your thing, which I've enjoyed. Jared, what a game tonight. I mean, a lot of people will be caught up in the Olympic fever, but don't let that distract you from what is a massive game tonight at Marvel Stadium, where St Kilda take on Carlton, and the ramifications for the loser, as it always is and is often rightly or wrongly the talking point, will be discussed heavily as the week rolls on.
So I thought maybe the five key contemplations heading into round 20 for us to kick around as Waitley and the captain's run meet. What happens, Kane, if Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow tear it up tonight and Carlton finally look awesome?
Oh, it would be so exciting. What happens to the future? I think it's, well, unfortunately for David Teague, I think that the ship may have sailed. So what it will do, it'll give probably the new person and the new hierarchy that, you know, as drastic as it sounds, I think that's the way it's going, will give them such a boost. So it's been 761 days since he's featured Charlie Curnow, and it's only the 24th game that Curnow and Mackay will play together. Charlie can seriously play, Jared. Like, he is a serious, serious footballer. Now, what do we expect tonight? Probably not a whole lot. I love the fact they're playing him. I think, you know, it's been, as I said, it's been 761 days. They're paying him a big wage to play. Finals are still there mathematically. So play him. I've got no issue with it. But what does it do for David Teague? I'm not sure. What does it do for the optimism of the supporters and the next people that come in? I think the prospect is pretty tantalising.
What if it goes wrong for Curnow? So you're all in on it. I'm not. I am amazed that after two scratch matches that he's not going to play a VFL game on the way to an AFL return, given what a prized asset he is and just how little is at stake at the moment.
So what's the worst that can happen? Look, the worst that can happen is there's a re-injury to the knee. Now, I'm sure that's not a massive risk at the moment, the knee, because, you know, the strength work, all the structural things that have been put through, they would have tested that. So the risk of the knee, I don't think, is going to be significantly more than what it would be if he plays round one next year. The worst thing that could happen is a soft tissue injury. And if soft tissue injury, well, he misses 3 or 4 weeks, you get him right for the preseason, not a whole heap lost would be my view on it. And I think there is a bit of upside. I think there is to... They need a boost. Look, and they don't have any key position players hardly fit on their list. You look at them, they've got three key position players basically fit on their whole list. So at some point, you've got to put your hand up. You've got to sacrifice your body. You've been paid a big whack. The club's been really good to you. He wants to play. He's clearly done the test to allow him to play. So the worst thing that happens is he nicks a hammy and he misses 3 or 4 weeks and you write the season off. I don't think there's a significant risk to re-injuring that knee, more so than there would be if, say, he plays round one next year.
So the counter question in the Carlton discussion is, what happens if the Blues again concede 100 points and give conditional effort, which was the feature of what happened last week, on Friday night on the national stage? They'll hope everyone's watching the Olympics.
They will, Jared. Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario tonight, and St Kilda will test them. Look, the Saints have been up and down and inconsistent, but for the last 5 to 6 weeks, they've been pretty solid. And, look, Carlton will be tested tonight. St Kilda were good against West Coast last week. They're really strong around the ball, and I think they're defending better. Their defence isn't star-studded, but it does get the job done. So Howard and Wilkie and Highmore and Webster and these guys are... They're good defenders, and they'll make you earn the kicks, as will their midfield as well, with, you know, with Crouch and Steele and Jones and these types through there. And Marshall makes a massive difference. So I can't see a way Carlton win tonight. You got Marshall and Ryder just absolutely giving it to Tom DeConning, who, you know, I really like as a future prospect at the Blues, but he's going to have his work cut out for him. So I can't really see a way Carlton get it done. It's more about the way they go about it. And if they wanted to turn up and serve up what they served in the third quarter last week, you know, this could end a little bit sooner than what we thought.
All right, so past tonight, will Melbourne rectify the creeping issues or do the wobbles become the shakes against the Suns?
Well, they're playing the Suns. They're going on a bit of a whirlwind trip around Australia, so they're going to go to the Queensland. They'll play at Metricon, then they're going to fly off to Perth. So I think this has come at a really good time for Melbourne. Just get away, break up the season a little bit, you know, spend some time together. We're hearing and reading. Sammy Edmonds been telling us about the sort of the entertainment stuff they're going to have at Optus in Perth. They're going to have all sorts of pinball machines and table tennis. That's a good thing to do, provided it's not, you know, what's facing Sydney and you're away for 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks. This is a good time to get away from Melbourne. I just thought their selection was interesting. The fact that Hibbard's been dropped. They've got to get him back in prior to the finals, though, Jared. I reckon Hibbard, he's the Dangerfield matchup for me, so to speak. Probably they're going to face Geelong in a big final at some stage if it's not on grand final day. So they've got to get him back in. I was a little bit shocked about that. What sort of a test does Gold Coast provide them? Not much. And are we going to learn a lot out of what Melbourne have done over the weekend? Probably not. But I do like the fact that this timing of the Triple A will serve them well.
Win well, and score heavily. That's my list for them.
Got to score 100 points. Go out there, and you shouldn't be ashamed of doing that. I think coaches get a little bit caught up too much on the defensive aspect. So many times, Ken Hinckley and Mark Williams, my coach, said, look, we're going out there to kick 100 points. That was always, and I'm going back a bit of a way with Choco, but that was his number. We're going out there to kick 100 points. I'd have no issue if Simon Goodwood sent to his players behind closed doors, we're going to kick 100 today, play with some flair, take them on, set the tone early and kick a big score. There's nothing wrong with that.
It would be good for their morale if they were able to do so. All right,
someone kick a bag. Get a hold of Gold Coast young defence and kick 4 or 5.
Can Essendon restore their scoring and their finals aspirations against the Swans?
No, I don't think so. Having a look at their lineup, it's about a weaker forward line, I think, of any of the top 12 teams. So I can't make a case of how Essendon are going to kick a winning score against a really good side in Sydney. So they've dropped Cale Hooker, which is a big call. His form, you know, probably says that he should be dropped. But if you look at, you know, the way that they're going to set up and the personnel in the forward line, we speak about Melbourne's scoring issues. They kicked 53 points last week, and they're going to roll in with Devin Smith, James Stewart, Perkins, young player who's had his moments. Stringer's the only one that really looks threatening. Peter Wright and Wilson. It's a makeshift forward line at best. And when you put that up against the likes of Sydney's defence, who have been so rock solid and also excellent on the counter attack as well, I've got some real concerns about Essendon. They're the team I'd probably be most worried about this weekend with what they've done at selection and their scoring issues as well.
To Port Adelaide, Kane, the fourth of our key contemplations in round 20. So Fantasia is back. Rosie, Butters and Dersma have had a first look where they were pretty rusty. Might Port Adelaide start to look like a premiership threat if they can take down the Giants?
It's an interesting one, Port Adelaide. They're fourth on the ladder right now, but no one's really, you know, I listened to you and Kingy on Monday and, you know, I sort of have a similar view in terms of where we see the top four sides. I'm not sure that they would have featured in your seedings for a good 7, 8, 9 weeks in terms of the top four, and probably rightly so. But are we underestimating them just a touch? I mean, it's a little bit like Melbourne for me, Port Adelaide. I just want a statement performance. So I want a, you know, start to finish comprehensive performance against, you know, a Giant side who, you know, aren't top of the tree, but they're going to possess some challenges, and Toby Green's back in and Finlayson. So they've got some reinforcements coming. The forward line's threatening. Fantasia, they rate, and so they should. I think he's a genuine footballer, Arato. So clean below his knees. He gives them speed, but his body's just let them down. I still think they're a touch tall. I think Dixon, Marshall, Georgiades and Laddams in that forward line is too tall for me. So I think one of those has to drop out prior to the finals. But I think Ken Hinckley would be feeling reasonably optimistic with where his team is at, considering, you know, they'll still get Robbie Gray back before finals and a couple of others, Fantasia back in. So I think they're sitting just nicely and ready to pounce. Their challenge will come with the Western Bulldogs in a week or so's time.
So you've got to make sure they take care of the Giants along the way.
Or, absolutely.
So this is all about building the idea. First, the idea of momentum and then actual momentum to sort of lay siege to the final series. But if they were to have a stumble and the Giants are no easy beats, I just think a lot swings on this game for their own well-being and how they're going to attack the last portion of the season.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that. And once again, away for 2 weeks hasn't come at a bad time. I think they've handled it pretty well. Travis Boak breaks the record this week, so there's that as well, and he's been good. So just do they have a midfield? Do they have a midfield that can come up against Geelong, Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, even Brisbane in a big final? That's I'm not so concerned about the forward line. It's more the midfield depth. You've got Wines and you've got Boak, and then what have you got after that? That would be my biggest issue for Port Adelaide, just the lack of a bit of class and depth through that midfield.
And then the last game of the weekend, Kane, can Richmond begin a heroic last stand, or will the week in quarantine just finish them off mentally?
Oh, I think they're nearly finished already. I think they win against Fremantle, particularly with, I think Fremantle have almost given up on the season with the injuries that they have got. Lobb and Fife won't play for the rest of the year, so how do they kick a winning score? It's going to be sort of papering over the cracks, though, for the Tigers. Whilst they can still do it, absolutely fully support them going all out. But if they did make the finals, I can't see them making a significant run at it with the challenges that they face this year. So, look, they may win this week. They've got a reasonable draw. They may sneak into that eighth spot. But I think that'd be sort of making up the numbers if that was the case.
There's many a story to tell in round 20. Some of it might slide under the cover of the Olympics, but in there somewhere, will. I reckon the odd fortune is going to be determined in this round, and we'll look back in hindsight and go, that's where it all came unstuck, or that's where it all started to happen.
No doubt about that. And as you said, tonight's just going to be significant. So get your two TVs out, have them both on, because it's going to be on. And as you opened your show with, what a week of sport it's been. I can't believe it's halfway through, Jared. Yeah. We don't really want this to end.
So flip at 10.
Yep, flips on at 10.
All right, so give Kane a bell then. Debate the issues of round 20. Craig Jennings is going to run a bit of strategy before then. And we might check in again after 2 for our flip-off to finish off this Friday, Kane.
Would love to do that, mate. Have a great day. We'll speak to you then.
All right. Captain's Round meets Waitley on this Friday before we break in two different directions at 10 o'clock. The footy conversation on SEN Flip. It appears on your app at 10. Hopefully you've got the gist of that by now.